American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, August 10th, 2009. And you are listening to Newsreel, the walk global sit-rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand, a tree stand, for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are loading the arrows from our quivers in which we may punch our mighty shafts through another metaphor, and you can follow up on that metaphor and all of these news stories and check my facts by going to my live journal, and you can get there by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast, Podcast Alley, Second Life, Node Archers, Grid 155574666. Come on down and see us there, or you can always catch us on the shortwave radio from Radio 99, transmitting on a frequency of 6673.3 kilohertz. Thank you very much. And of course, my beautiful and talented co-host, Samarian.
Hello, Sean. How are you doing this week?
I'm good. I'd be better if you didn't laugh in my intro. I mean, I'm in there, I'm trying to be clever, and I've already got my laugh track on the go. It was funny. It's funny, you know. It's brutal. I need you on the air now. You know, I totally... There's a reason why... I do a way better show when you're here. It's embarrassing. Oh, for sure.
Well, that's good.
When I go back and listen to them, you know, it's... You know, you're just listening to Sean, you know, blow his brains out for an hour. You know, it's pretty... I mean, some people...
I enjoy the show, too. I enjoy being here.
Well, there are people... The thing that gets me is the people who complain, because I did get a couple of complaints, right? And they were mostly...
About what?
Well, because it's like we don't do as much news, right? So they don't want to come out and say...
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they don't want to come out and say, well, we don't like it when Sim's on the show, because you just natter on about bullshit. We don't like you nattering on about bullshit. We want to, you know, we're fucking here for the news, man. We got to start the revolution and all this kind of stuff, right? And I get a lot of shit. I get a lot of people getting mad at me because I don't take it seriously. You know, we haven't raised the armies. You know, the last thing you want to do is get on a public medium forum and start talking about raising armies. That's a really bad idea. I think that it's a better idea to be a survivor net where everybody just goes, yeah, still alive. Yeah, we managed to dodge the Gestapo again. Just letting you know. You know, that's where it's probably going to wind up before too long, especially with some of the news stories this week, man. Oh, my God. Really, really bad.
Craziness.
How has your week been? How has your week been, Sim? Anything going on with you?
Very productive.
What did you do? What has been
done
productive?
Almost done the new rant site. Next week will be the launch. So
You've been working on that.
Yeah, it's looking good. Coming together. I mean, so many little tiny little.
Well, I don't want to do it.
Totally recreated from nothing, right?
And this is all you now. You're doing all this. It's not like you have an army of secret monkeys who, you know, we train and pay to do this stuff.
Army of one monkey who's helping me with the CSS code.
Okay, army. Can that monkey be named?
Yeah, her name's Roxy.
Roxy is helping us, and we will hail Roxy.
Her name's on every single page, so she gets credits.
Oh, does she? Okay, good deal. No, yeah. That's good.
She's awesome.
You know, Sorry, I thought it was a...
She.
She is awesome? I'm sure she is, and much love to Roxy. I'd buy that for a dollar. What the hell? So the site. Site's good.
Yes. Good. Yes, so that should be up by time... The next week's show. Sometime next week. Sometime after this show. Before the next one, I'm guessing.
So, I'm not too sure what my word
nice
total...
Nice and sexy.
I'm not too sure what my word total is for the last week.
Well, you know what it's a... What the total above is, above a certain number.
Well, it's Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, good save. I was all set up to really beat up on myself psychologically there, and you kind of grabbed the hammer before I could bring it down. But yeah, no, it's true. I passed the 50,000 word mark, which...
And this is on your third book that you're working on.
That's right. That's right. This is the third book, and like a true sellout, I have abandoned my horror love like a cheap street whore. You know, scraping the blood off of my dress. Yeah, it's I stumble away, and because the demand is there for After Now, and you know they will torment me until I'm like Gollum on the rack, screaming one word after another. They will not leave me alone. So I have
you're showing love to the fans.
I'm showing the love to the fans because they want the After Now stuff. Which After Now? What After Now is when people go, "What is After Now?" It's not post-apocalyptic as such. It's apocalyptic because it's sort of like there while the end is happening, right? It's not after the bomb. Parts of it have already
happening.
Because, well, it's like the steady burn.
Because post-apocalyptic would be like rebuilding from something.
Well, it has a lot to do, I think, with terrain. That's a big part of it. I mean, if you watch it, when for the genre, I mean, I don't want to get too specific. Well, I'm kind of a bit of a genre bigot. I get very, you know, like I don't want to be like, you know, I shouldn't rip on Anne Rice, you know, because the woman knows what she's doing. She started an erotica.
You've done it enough, I guess.
You know, she started an erotica, went to horror, skipped over to the Christian stuff, and she's making money. You know, God love her. You know, and she's an amazing writer. She knows the craft.
Yeah.
She's super talented, redefined how vampires are thought about
brought a lot of readers into the horror genre.
Yeah, I mean, it's her and Stephen King, pretty much. And you know, I just don't happen to like her effect on vampires personally.
you can't escape it now. Yeah, that's all vampires are now. It's Anne Rice vampires.
Yeah, I'm like the guy who didn't like the new team sports uniform, and they went to the new uniform, and I'm still bitching about the old sports uniform that I like much better, even though it's like two seasons have passed. You know,
and everybody's tired of hearing it. It's like, we know, Sean.
You know, like, yeah, okay, we get it, man. So it's kind of bad there, but yeah, back to the After Now thing. It's I believe that Cyberpunk is actually horror. I believe it is a horror genre in that, well, of course, now I've screwed myself, haven't I, because it's not supernatural. But, I mean, it's applying any technology that's not that's sufficiently advanced appears to be like magic. So, in essence, if you can sell it, because realistically, even my horror is kind of science fiction because I don't claim it to be magic. I go through great lengths to explain the basic concepts of the sciences that are used.
When you explain it, it's not magic anymore. It's an explainable science.
Exactly. So, and I think it's six of one, half dozen of the other. So, you know, and that's one of the things. So what I'm trying to do now is I'm looking at, like, some pretty spooky stuff to bring. Because, I mean, I'm talking about a lot of crazy concepts, you know. And when people want a book about the After Now, I mean, you got to have server in there. You have to explain a lot of stuff that, because you're working on the perfect canvas, which I believe books are. I believe books are the ultimate canvas because you have one person in total control able to contribute a vision. And even though that vision will get tweaked and photoshopped by your editor and everything, you know, but they're not going to be able to sit there and go, I'm removing this character. They can't do that, right?
So. No, they can't do that. But it's a very pure medium.
Like, it is.
It's not like television or movies where it takes away and first the director's vision of the world is enforced upon you. You can't add anything to it.
That's
a
right.
book, you can envision it millions of different ways. People would come up after reading a book and say, oh, I liked how you did that. And you're like, I hate that. But that person took that away from it.
Yeah. That's right. Everyone has their own idea of what, you know, Gandalf was supposed to look like. And that's why everybody had to, you know, totally have this. When you look at it, it was actually this massive stereotype. The whole Lord of the Rings movie was this huge fucking stereotype. It was like, there's the Grey Wizard, you know, and they made the most awesomeness Grey Wizard ever in the history of the world, and they're like, you know,
everybody seemed to agree on it. It's like, yeah, that's what he looks like, and we coming from like a book.
Yeah,
how did everybody know that's what he looks like? Is because it's been built up in our heads over the years.
Exactly, and that's the establishment of the genre. But we're on a crazy tirade here. The end of this, the moral of this, kids, is make sure you read. And if you don't read my stuff, for God's sakes, read. I'm forcing myself to read. I'm forcing, literally, I'm not lying to you, I'm forcing myself to read before I go to bed at night. That's the latest drill. Read.
It's what I've been trying to do as well.
Yeah.
It's good for you.
How's it?
Exercise your mind. And
how's that working?
Pretty good. I try and get, I skip a couple of nights, but, you know, every second night or something, I get some reading in. I'm not too tired.
Well, that's not too, that's, you know, I just, yeah, I enjoy reading. I do. It's just, it's hard because you have to, like, shut everything else out, you know, so it's like forced meditation. But anyway, let's talking about shutting things out. That's sort of a weak segue to sort yourself out, which I have one for, which is why we're killing so much time, because we have no feedback. Dear Sean and Sim? I always forget. It doesn't matter, whatever. I'm not even going to talk about Sim's name anymore. It's just Sim. We understand what you're talking about. He's going to turn his name into a symbol. Okay, I'm 25. I work in a retail store, and most of the time I spend there is essentially dead time. Yes, I get paid, and it's quiet enough in a small town to afford good shelter, bountiless food, and pay for my entertainment. Hello, gotta have the internet. In the last year, I met a girl, and things are really going along great. We moved in together pretty quick, ups and downs, but we've got it pretty good. We're even talking about starting a family in the future. We're both reaching an age where we wished we'd have more freedoms, choosing to live on some of our own ways, for instance, elsewhere, and possibly self-employed, where neither of us had to deal with the do-as-I-say-not-as-I-do ass clowns in the corporate world for the lower midlife class economic rung. From your understanding, what would be a good route to take for both of us to earn more money? And in our turn, freedom, in a world shifting so strangely. I remember I've heard you talking about the upcoming fields of robotics and other high-tech stuff. I was wondering if your passion for your work really is a prerequisite of success, and especially self-sustained success. I would rather not be at the whim of some rich bastard somewhere pulling the strings or else and hating my career at the same time. Lately, I've been reading a lot of middle-class people reading about a lot of middle-class people who decide to cut from society, save their cash, move to the country, and become personal farmers, artisans, or some other little folksy with less money, less power, less responsibilities, and somehow end up with more happiness. What do you think about that? It would be great to hear any perspectives that you guys have. Keep on producing. End of line. So, yeah. Yeah. You know, 25, don't really know what to do with life, you know. We haven't put out a season patrolling yet, so, you know, I haven't reached that part of the life, you know. It's kind of funny because he's actually, you know, he's up to the point now. He wants to, you know, take on the world. Well,
yes.
Here's what I know. Here's what I know. There are certain things that will never change. You're always going to need certain things. For example, you're always going to need doctors. You're always going to need, you know, there's things that there's always going to need to be somebody to shovel shit as well and wash dishes. It depends if what you want to do. Now, yes, you should have a passion in what you want to do, and that's fine. But you must understand that whatever you do is eventually going to become a job. So realistically, you know, the only advice I would give is if you've got a job that you enjoy, right? Then that would be a good thing to do because you're going to spend a lot of time doing it. But the problem is that you have to have some kind of a, because it's like you're making X amount of dollars, right? And if all of a sudden the bottom falls out of that, what do you got to catch you? What's to stop you from turning into some burger flipping guy in the corner? Have you got a degree or something? Because that doesn't guarantee anything. And, you know, like what stops you from becoming broke, essentially? So from a WOG perspective, I like certifications. I do. I like different types of certifications. You can get, if you've got a job where you've got downtime and dead time, fucking cert up. Cert the fuck up. Find a field where you know that, hey, people with this certification make this amount of money. X plus Y equals Z. Nobody makes less than that. And then choose a cert. There's lots of certs you can get for shit like that. I mean, if you're at all, you know, learn to be a welder. Okay, they're always going to hire fucking welders. I'll tell you that much. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to need these guys. So if you're looking for a trade that can, like, that'd be a good trade to get, just to have it. Just to have the ticket in your back pocket. You know, so you're never, you know, what can you do? I can weld. Fuck yeah. Okay, you're getting on the boat. Ooh, you can't do anything? I'm an artist. Well, we got enough artists. We need some welders. You know, that's kind of where it's at. And that's the grim meat hook reality of the world
we
live in.
Have a backup plan.
Fuck
yeah. Have two backup plans.
Yeah, have a parachute. And certs are pretty interesting. Like, I myself, right, I'm currently working towards getting my dive instructor cert. Am I ever going to, like, go and be a dive instructor somewhere? Probably not. Probably not. The likelihood of that is very, very slim. But, I mean, it's neat to have.
You know, because, I mean, the guys do make 40 grand and 30. Like, if I was 19 right now, rather than join the Army, I think I'd just tell people to go be scuba dive instructors. Total transient lifestyle. You're basically a beach bum. I mean, you're floating around. You wouldn't hate me for it. You know what I mean? A lot of kids would join the Army, be halfway through a chin-up, and be like, fuck you, Sean. I hate your guts, right? But you know, there'd be not a lot of guys who, you know, I think the five-year picture would hurt. Because if you go do that, then, you know, after you've been a beach bum for 5 years, you're kind of a burnout. Out, right? But versus 5 years
and,
in the Army.
And you enjoy diving, too, right?
Me? Diving. Oh, I love diving. You know, but it's a weird kind of species.
Well, something fun to do, too.
Well, if you like it. It's kind of a weird thing to do. It's like flyers, right? People are pilots and stuff, get off on that.
Yeah.
I don't get off on that, but people, like, get off on that stuff. Like, they really dig that stuff. And it's just...
And I can see why they would, too.
Sure,
it's crazy.
It's cool. You're flying.
It's freedom.
Yeah, you're flying. I mean, what could possibly be cooler than flying? That's another cert. Be a pilot. Right? I mean, that's a bad one because it's like 50 grand to get anywhere. And
it's really expensive.
It's expensive. Well, not as expensive as a chopper pilot. That's just retarded. It's $500,000 to get it. There's no jobs. Like, yeah, no, it's retarded. Like, the horror saga. They should make a documentary about these poor chopper pilots. I swear to God. It's like, dude, so bad. Yeah, you know, and so especially with the industry certs, I mean, I'm not really so crazy about computer industry certs. I like, you know, an electrician. That's a good way to go if you get yourself that way, you know, or start looking into certs that are available. Go hit your community college and find out, like, I think my buddy worked it out, and he said that the least amount of school that produces the most amount of money, like the magic trade, is a pharmacist. And I talked about that before.
I bet.
Yeah, because I think it's like six years, you're making like 100 grand a year, right? So, I mean, and so bang, you know. And I'm thinking, hey, if you can do it, if you can like part-time course that shit and be working towards it, because it's just like, well, it's just like the writing. You know, it's 2,000 words every day, and eventually you got a book. So, you know, eventually you just do it and you get the cert.
Eventually you will be a writer.
Time will pass. I promise you that much. Time will pass. And whether or not you have anything... after the time has passed is up to you. So, you know, you can look at it that way. You can look at it that way. So that would be my, you know, somewhat broken insight for entertainment purposes only. Sam, like, what do you think?
No, that's great advice. That's really good, especially when he's 25. He's got a lot of years ahead of him. Good time to start doing that stuff, especially with his dead time. I've worked at jobs where it's brainless. You're just doing your work and you don't...
Yeah.
You don't have to think about your work, and it gives you so much time to think about stuff, and especially if it's a desk job as well, you can do what John is saying, is study. You could study at your desk or whatever. Obviously, if you're doing manual labor, you can't really study unless you slap some headphones on yourself, learn another language, learn Chinese, and you can go do stuff overseas eventually, maybe.
Or yeah, become a polyglot.
Learn something on tape. Yeah. There's always some way you can learn while you're doing...
And time management. I mean, you know, getting control. But that's all stuff that we're going to be addressing in the new season. But, you know, hey, bottom line, if you've got downtime, cert the fuck up. That's what you're doing. Okay, let's get into the news because we got some big news here. In martyr news, this is sent to us by Morps. Three supervisors who were trying to cure Deng Xishan of his compulsive computer use have been arrested after he died on Sunday. We are investigating a case where a high school student was beaten to death by his camp supervisors. A case is still under investigation, a police officer in Nanning, Guxi Province, told the Chinese state media. The boy's father, Deng Fei, said he paid 7,000 yuan, I guess 605, looks like British pounds, for his son to spend a month at the Guangxi Kuihang Survival Training Camp, which promised to rid the boy of his problems. My son was very healthy and was not a criminal. He had just an internet addiction when I left him at the camp, he said. We can't believe our only son was beaten to death. He claimed that the boy had been put in solitary confinement shortly after his arrival and then beaten by supervisors who was upset when he was running too slowly. There are several internet addiction boot camps in China, and the government has recently cautioned one hospital in the north of the country for using electroshock therapy as part of its treatment program. So, you know... maybe you should log off, I guess, if you're in China.
Yeah.
Like, what do you say
Cut
to
it
that?
Back so your parents don't send you to this camp.
Where they like, beat you to death and hook you up to electrodes.
What level of internet addiction? What level of internet addiction do you have to get to be sent off to camp?
I would argue
term
that,
as internet addiction.
Yeah, this is insane. Like this, that's obscene. It's obscene. It's totally obscene. That is like, that you know, China is fucked up.
Okay, I mean, they must have some good propaganda going over there for to get parents to pay to send their kids off to these camps. Are these kids like cutting school and doing absolutely nothing but playing Craft all day?
It doesn't matter. I don't care. I don't care if my kid's smoking a hay bale of weed in the basement, playing video games until his eyes dry the fuck out. I don't want him beaten to death and hooked up to electrodes, you know? Like, what's worse, having an internet-addicted kid or your kid beaten to death and shocked the fuck out? You know, like, really? Really? I mean, what's is it so bad to have, you know, a lazy son that you want him beaten to death? I mean, I don't know. It seems like this guy feels pretty bad about it. You know, his kid's all, like... dead, you know. This story is so insane, you know. So
it doesn't make any sense. It's crazy.
It is crazy. But this is, you know, the kind of news stories that I'm handed, Sim, by the internet, and I have to report on this shit because there's stories that people send me, and they're like, you know, Sean's going to cover this. Like, fuck, he has to. You know what I mean? It's not.
I like the wording too. It's like the government cautioned a hospital for using electroshock therapy. They didn't stop them from doing this. Like, you know. You might want to cut back to once a day instead of three times.
I tell you, if this is just propaganda, it's working on me. Because if I was a kid in China right now, shit, man, I wouldn't even look at a computer. I'd be like, whoa.
Oh, God.
That's a
bad... It'd be all secretive and everything about it, yeah.
Well, I hear they're addictive, and they killed that kid because he couldn't control it. It's like meth, you know. Yeah.
Wow.
Spending 30 hours staring at a television screen isn't normal, but on computers it is. You know, like, it's pretty... You could do a whole ad campaign.
It's out of control.
It's
hard to believe. This is really hard to believe.
We'll see. What's hard to believe here is some pharma fascist news, which I've got, which is just unfucking believable. Now, you know, I am a huge adversary to pharma, like the whole subscription prescription population thing that they've got going on.
Oh, yeah.
Where they've got like drugs fed. There's people who need drugs, okay? There's people who need to be medicated. They need medicine in order to
people can't exit their house.
Yeah, you know, and they need help. Okay. And if a pill can help these people, you know, that's not going to destroy them and turn them into raging drug addicts or make them suicidal, then yeah, that's a good idea. You know, but I just think we should explore a lot of health options. I don't like limitations, and I don't like Band-Aid solutions, and I don't like turning people into junkies. I think that's fucking sick.
Yeah, lifelong junkies where they're prescribed for the rest of their life.
Permanently damages their brains, so they become ultra-dependent. I mean, it's fucking evil, okay? Anyway... Under attack from Congress, particularly Senator Charles Grassley, the psychiatric field's leading professional organization is being forced to explain its tight financial relationships with the pharmaceutical industry. The American Psychiatric Association, which got a blistering letter from Grassley questioning its funding sources, will hold a private meeting this weekend to discuss how to deal with the public questions over its pharma relationships. So this is a great fucking deal. You've got the American Psychiatric Association, who will declare anybody crazy for anything, getting paid off because they're the guys who prescribe the, you get a subscription, they give you a prescription to, you know, your feel happy pill. And, you know, they're basically cashing in on the drug addiction of our culture is what they're doing.
Oh,
you know,
they got it all nailed down.
Oh, yeah, and this is tight.
They know exactly
so
what they're doing.
This should
everybody's being paid off.
Yeah, this is the biggest. This is bigger than, this is actually way bigger than any of these financial scams. That's just money. Okay. Like, that's
this
just
is
money.
Enslaving
this
people.
This is slavery. Slavery.
Mind slavery.
Yeah, this is worse than murder and rape, okay, is slavery. Slavery is, like, to induce chemical slavery. Oh, my God. Like, you know, I come up with this stuff because I'm a horror writer, not because I'm trying to predict the future here. Anyway, It goes on to say, without question, the pharmaceutical funding does make up a significant part of the American Psychiatric Association budget. In 2006, for example, their latest year, for which figures are available. So 3 years old, no other figures available. Now, this is the files they've made public. Okay, so the way they dressed it up after they made it public, which none of this has been audited, you know.
This is what they admit to, right?
This is what they admit to. So what they admit is 30% of the group's $62.5 million funding. So $20 million of their $62 million comes from pharmaceutical companies who also have strong ties with individual doctors influential within the APA. For example, the group's president-elect, Dr. Alan Schatzberg of Sanford, which is, I think that's Polish for shitbag, Dr. Alan Shitbag of Sanford, has $4.8 million in stock holdings in a drug development company. Like, holy fuck, man. Like, yeah. You know.
A little bit of conflict of interest going on there. So it's in his best interest to promote the drugs that he prescribes, or he influences all the people in his association to prescribe.
Yes, seriously, man, get a rope. Like, that guy, right until the sun goes down, you know, you son of a bitch. How, you know, what are you thinking? Is it worth it? You know, is every one of your little pebbles in your poolside room, you know, carved from the teeth of the children? Is that what you want, you sick piece of shit? And, you know, you look at this and you're like, you know, that's why it kills me that they have business ethics courses. You know, like they're talking about
ethics.
You come
to expect this, you know, in the media, right?
Yeah.
Music industry is tied in with the newspapers and the movies, but I mean, this is a totally different realm. This is actually, you know, hurting people.
Yeah, worse than hurting them, you're enslaving them. I mean, it's
you're getting them addicted to the drugs
and destroying any possible future they could have. Like, this is some pretty seriously insidiously evil shit. So, you know, what's the takeaway from this? Basically, don't. You know, the power of the printed word is pretty frightening. Don't make sure you get second opinions. You know, go to holistic, go to different types of specialists, see people from different fields. Don't let yourself get railroaded. Don't start just taking fucking pills that people give you and you know, don't trust these fuckers, man. Seriously, do not trust them. If you need help, and you know if you need help, okay? Seriously, you know if you do. Get help, you know, but get proper help, to diet and stuff, you know?
Don't get your medical advice from commercials on television.
Yeah, don't ask your doctor if this is right for you. You know, why don't you ask, like, you know, someone who's a bit more holistic about, you know, what's...
try everything first before you get enslaved into the pharma fascism.
Now, the next story is some bad guy news. Now, this is bad guy stuff. I don't know if you're aware of this, Sim, but there's, like, a lot of different... We've been covering the Mexican drug war. And one of the major players down there in the Mexican drug war are these MS-13 guys, okay?
Right, yeah.
And this is really brutal, because actually, these guys are totally shithawk insane. They've totally taken over.
They're
nuts.
Too.
They've taken
tattooed
over
their whole body, face to foot.
Well, they're big.
They just do not care.
Yeah, their big trick is that they'll go into an area and, like, machete everyone in a house to death. Like, and their neighbors. You know what I mean? Like, they'll just go absolutely bonkers. Now, I haven't had a lot of exposure to this stuff, but they're a big player, and they've actually been trained. Some people have speculated that what they were is they were the CIA-funded, you know, special forces guys to go train these dudes to be, you know, guerrillas and narco-guerrillas, and then they kind of got away from the CIA, and now they're running their own thing, and blah, 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 blah. But it seems like this is some interesting piece, and I don't think this is, like, Republican terror stuff. Let me just get through the story. Al-Qaeda and the Latino gangbangers. The situation on the border now poses a graver threat to national security. Agent Mike Scholey of the U.S. Border Patrol confirms that the Tucson sector of the Border Patrol is facing a worsening problem with Mara Salvatrucha, the Salvadorian street gang, which is MS-13, that now controls the flow of arms and drugs and illegal aliens in the United States. Two members of the violent gang were collared last week in Tucson and Nogales. I'm probably saying that wrong. 20 have been brought into custody since Barack Obama has assumed the oath of office in January 20, 2009. But the Salvadorian gang is bringing more than is bringing more than guns, dope, and Mexican peasant workers across the border. In the wake of 9/11, Mero Sepultura attracted the attention of top Al-Qaeda officials who realized the gang could be used to smuggle operatives and weapons into the United States. An agreement was forged between the terrorists and the gangbangers. In exchange for safe passage across the border, Al-Qaeda, through its cells in South America, agreed to pay the Maras from $30,000 to $50,000 for each sleeper agent they managed to get smuggled into the country with bogus matricula consulares. Matricula consulares are official identification cards that are issued by the Mexican government through its consular offices. The cards verify the Maras are Mexican citizens who are living outside Mexico with the government's permission. According to the U.S. officials, these cards pose a grave threat to national security, blah, 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 blah. Now, the one thing that I find interesting about this story is that I believe that probably Islamic extremists are trying to move in to the poor sections of South America, because, I mean, this is where these kind of people feed, right? You've got drugs there, there's money there. So, you know, the Al-Qaeda and Islamofascist nut bars from, you know, Afghanistan and stuff like that know how to use drugs and move that money around and stuff like that. So seeing these guys move into South America really isn't that surprising. What I find is surprising is how much the CIA seems to know here. They got, you know, they got the contract arrangements here. They're getting paid per head, you know. They got it all
this
wired.
This is a lot of intel, yeah.
Yeah, you know, which kind of makes me go, okay. And you know, the story goes on talking about how this is an issue. Now, Al-Qaeda, of course, is kind of a dubious organization. I'm not even sure that they're really real. Are they an organization, or are they a loose cluster of other cells, or, you know, and I think there's a lot, because I think we're talking about, you know, a few hundred people that are sort of moving around within Islamofascist circles who are constantly changing their names, sort of like the same way the religious right does, only they're not, you know, right, making kids blow themselves up. And I think that we do have a problem right now with the, I mean, when you've got, you know, a war going on in Mexico, you're going to see stuff like this, and no one's talking about that war. And now, maybe it'll get some press now. You know, if the Islamofascists move in down there,
hopefully,
you know, they'll sort that shit out. But they need to get those kids out of Iraq and get them home.
So they're saying they're almost hiring them as operatives to
well, they'll convert them, right?
And commit acts of,
I mean, if these people are willing to tattoo their whole bodies and they've got nothing to live for because their lives are shit, hey, I've got some Islam for you, buddy. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. It's the perfect formula, right?
Yeah. So, I mean,
they give them money. They go, yeah, we're Islamic. Yeah, give us your money.
Oh, no. I mean, these guys,
right?
They'll convert them. They'll actually make them Islamic. I have no problem with that. I mean, these guys are really good at it.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, like, Islam.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a big.
They talk up a good talk.
Oh yeah, they got a good talk, man. They know how to do that voodoo that they do so well. I mean, you know, there's a lot of very religious people in you know, South and Central America.
Very.
You know, so you know, it's the same God. We just got some slightly different viewpoints on them, you know, and they're
very
good at
true.
It. Yeah, they're good at it, man. Yep. They know what they're doing. So it's I think it
makes
dangerous.
Sense. It makes sense. Right next to the U.S. place they want to get into.
So bottom line, maybe we should get some local troops who actually are part of your country to defend the country, which they sort of, you know, signed up to defend. Just a thought. You know, I'm, you know, let me know how that works out for you. In insanity copyright news. Now, just to follow up that one with another one. This is the story I was talking to you about, Sim. For the first time since 1980, the Topps Company will have exclusive rights to produce baseball cards with Major League Baseball logos and trademarks. So basically, they're it. They're the only ones allowed to make baseball cards. If they have baseball cards with the logos, which means logos on the uniforms and the photographs, any of that stuff, if you have a photo of a player and he's wearing a patch on his uniform, then that patch is part of the logo that you can't even have photos of. Like, so basically, they've just, as of January 1st, 2010, all the baseball cards will be Topps cards. Apparently.
It's just one company. That's it.
There's
no competition because they'll make it illegal.
Which,
They'll sue their ass into the ground. It kind of destroys a childhood kind of thing that kids do. It's gone. It's like if you want to buy baseball cards, that's who you buy.
Right.
And, I mean,
It's
I could give a fuck about baseball, really.
No, I could care less, but that's coming.
This is another thing in the trend. I mean, I'm surprised they haven't done it long ago. It's the same thing as the Olympics, right? You can't even say Olympics without somebody putting a
shit
tape
you said
over
Olympics
your mouth nowadays,
right?
Be
right up our ass.
Exactly. We're gonna have to bleep that out.
We're gonna get sued.
I was talking about the ancient Greece Olympics. Sorry, with
that's
the
right.
Smaller,
yeah,
the, yes,
or
that's
the one,
right.
The ones in Atlanta where you know the Vanock guys showed up and took the whole city hostage for 2 weeks. That's what's gonna happen in Vancouver. They're going to show up. They're going to blow into town here. It's going to be a rock star party for, like, the super elite. Yep. It's going to be like, we used to fuck with Hitler, you know, and that's going to be their big thing. I mean, the Nazis had orgies at their Olympics, man. Like, the Olympics, you know, I don't know how I feel about the Olympics. I really don't. Like, on one hand, yeah, I totally respect athletes.
It's the arts. It's sports. It's kind of cool. But on the other hand, it's money. It's all just money.
It's kind of turned into that, and somewhere, you know, and if the guy doesn't win gold, you know, pretty much he's fucked. Nobody cares about who won silver. It's all about who wins gold.
No, you never hear about silver.
And, you know, and these are people.
And it's nationalistic pride, too, and
yeah.
I hate that.
And it's kind of like, there's a lot of, and I mean, it'd be better if the athletes got more play. You know what I mean? If the athletes got more play. Like, and if every athlete who just showed the fuck up was set for life, like, every athlete who competes in the Olympics can, you know, I don't know, be set for 5 years or something like that.
Because, you know, they're the top in the world.
Yeah, totally. You know what I mean? They're it. You know, they're you know, it's pretty cool. So, I don't know. It's just, like, what? And you know, the transhumanists, right? They wanted to have it so that, like, why not just say, fuck it? You want to do the limits of human potential? Let's make drugs, performance-enhancing drugs and everything legal. That'll spur the industry, you know. Let's have a.
Are these performance enhancing drugs like federally illegal?
Oh yeah.
Can you take a steroid? Like, can I just go out buy a steroid and inject it myself, or are the cops going to knock on my door?
You know what? I don't know. I don't know enough about that.
What is stopping somebody from picking up their own steroid Olympics then?
Well,
if it's not like. Illegal.
I would think that it would be really licensing. Would
I bet
be pretty
people would
heavy.
Watch it.
Yeah, people would watch it. I mean, that's coming. You know, I don't know, man. That's pretty dark. You know, I don't know if I'd want to. I mean, I think UFC is pretty dark, where you're encouraging kids to beat the living shit out of each other. That, you know, never mind.
That's pretty sick and twisted, right there.
Yeah, I mean that shit's nuts. But let's bring it up a notch. Let's look towards the future. Let's look towards things that are nice and make us happy, like Cyberpunk Kit.
Okay.
Every wonderful piece of Cyberpunk Kit ever always makes you happy, you know. Which is the TubeSat personal satellite kit. I'm loving on this thing.
Ooh.
Planet Earth has entered the age of the personal satellite with the introduction of Interorbital's TubeSat personal satellite kit. The new iOS SatTube. Check this out. The new iOS TubeSat PS kit is the low-cost alternative to the CubeSat. It has a 3/4 the mass, 0.75 kilograms, and the volume of a CubeSat, but still plenty of room for most experiments or functions. And best of all, the price of the TubeSat kit actually includes the price of launch into low Earth orbit on an iOS Neptune 30 launch vehicle. Since the TubeSats are placed in self-decaying orbits 310 kilometers, 192 miles above the Earth's surface, they do not contribute to any long-term orbital debris. After a few weeks of operation, they will safely re-enter the atmosphere and burn up. TubeSats are designed to be orbit-friendly. Launches are expected to begin with the 4th quarter of 2010. So, it's $8,000. $8,000, and for a couple of weeks, you have your own personal satellite.
It's like temporary satellite for like whatever you want to do for a week.
You can
want to
use
do some special event or whatever.
Earth from space video imaging, Earth magnetic field measurements, satellite orientation detection, orbital environmental measurements, on-orbit hardware software component testing, tracking migratory animals from orbit, your kids moving around Paris and you want to keep beat on them, testing satellite and stabilization methods, biological experiments, on-orbit advertising, private email. I mean, dude. You know, shit.
Secure comms.
Secure comms.
Really secure comms.
Like, I'm posting, like, WikiLeaks puts one of those up and launches it, and that's how they leak it, because you're not taking that shit down. You know,
what you need to do is you hack one of these so it doesn't have a doesn't decay, have a decaying orbit. Of course, you need some fuel to offset that.
No, you're it's a big rock.
You need to put some.
It's a big rock. You can't really.
Exactly.
Yeah, you'd have to like break some laws.
Get some nuclear, nuclear stuff inside of it, and
You'd break some laws.
Or you could, you know, you put enough stuff that on it that you could. Solar panels on it that it could refuel it, but you might need a couple more than.
Well, that's I do have 0.75 kilograms worth of space and payload, which I could have a little thing like pop out little legs and it would crawl off deeper into space or something. I don't know, but you'd have to come with, like little jet rockets or something or ion drives.
Yeah.
And traveling without moving, it'll be a big thing of spice and it'll space navigate
Never
itself.
Know.
I don't know. Anyway, the point is that, you know, whatever your little mad scientist brain can dream up, you can send to orbit for 8K. So, hey, that's all right. You know what I mean? I think that's...
Sweet.
I think it's pretty sexy. I do. Another thing that's pretty sexy is teeth. Nothing says sexy like a good mouthful of teeth. And scientists in Japan have managed to grow fully functional teeth in adult mice. Now, this is pretty good. Researchers...
Human teeth, I'm guessing.
Yeah, well, they're actually tusks, so the mice can't move now, and they stab. No, they're just mice teeth. Researchers at the University of Science use embryo cells to develop bioengineered tooth seeds, which they implanted into the jawbone of adult mice. The seeds were actually tissue containing the cells and the chemical instructions necessary to form a tooth, which means that you can replace teeth with, like, you could regrow teeth. You know, so
wow,
that gets rid of...
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's
like...
really good.
Oh, wait. Yeah, now that's cool. The mice went on to grow fully functional teeth. And then something went horribly wrong. Only flesh could sharpen those teeth. The hardness of the enamel and dentin of the bioengineered tooth was equivalent to that of the natural adult tooth. Report in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences claims the technology could be future to grow human organs. Or teeth. You know, which I think is really
good. That's good because you only get so many teeth.
And, you know, and after they're gone, well, they're kind of gone. But, you know, not anymore. You know, server will provide.
Oh.
And, you know, you can...
It's excellent.
You can, you know, get the teeth thing on a go. Now, this is from right out of... This is another piece of Cyberpunk kit right out of the books, which is a chemical stun pistol. It's called the RAP4 Self-Defense T-68 System. For home defense and personal protection. What you can't have or what you don't want, or when you can't have or don't want a firearm to defend your life and your family, the RAP4 Self-Defense T-68 gives you another solution. The statistics are staggering. There are 95,000 rapes reported every year in the United States, 875,000 assaults, and 400,000 other violent crimes. You have a voice in your own defense, and now you have a means too. RAP4 offers the most advanced personal safety solution on the market, the RAP4 Self-Defense Package. The RAP4 Self-Defense T-68 gun is a small handheld unit that shoots up to 10 PAVA filled projectiles up at attackers up to 60 feet away. It's non-lethal, easy to use, highly effective at disabling attackers before they can get close enough to do you harm. It protects from greater distances than mace or aerosol pepper sprays and doesn't have the potential to kill the same way firearms do. The RAP4 self-defense live rounds are non-lethal and will cause your assailant's eyes, nose, and throat to burn, leaving them coughing, temporarily debilitated, so you can escape to safety. This is an ideal home defense and personal protection solution. The RAP4 self-defense T6 is a top-notch, service-ready self-defense product. It's huge. Okay, the thing is massive. It's they make one that looks like a pistol. That fires paintballs, but this thing actually fires like these capsium balls would hit the target. I have a hard time agreeing with this thing because I like tasers better. I really do. But it's interesting because this is right out of the books. You know what I mean? It's like something you could use. You know, you let the kids play with it, I guess. No, I mean, don't do that. But, you know, I guess maybe...
But,
maybe
I mean, with the taser, you shoot it once and it's over, right?
Well, the new ones, they got three shots in them. The new ones, they got three shots.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the new ones aren't too bad, you know. But I can just see, you know, guys taking, you know, the XXX Ride the Lightning. But, and as well, if a guy's breaking into my house and I think that I'm going to... need to, you know, defend my family. I don't want to use a paintball gun. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm shooting at you, it's because I want you to die. So I'm, you know, maybe it's my military training, yeah. But I'm kind of all about, you know, center of mass. Now, speaking of military training, this is very, very cool. This is one of the coolest things I've seen in a while. And I've seen them before, but I've never really thought about it. During the Cold War, this is the your daily hack today, are these hollow spy coins. Super cool. During the Cold War, spies from both the East and West used hollow coins to ferry secret message and suicide potions, poisons, and microfilms undetected back and forth across the border. On the following page are functional hollow spy coins. This is really cool. They're made to fit an SD card in the coin. So you can put an SD card in this coin, and when you seal it together, it looks like a coin. Like, there's nothing that you could put this in your purse with a bunch of other coins or at the bottom of a backpack, and no one would even look twice at it.
That's very cool.
It's super cool.
Are these like the original styled coins? Like he?
No, he buys
the old
a coin.
Ones, or these are new.
He takes a coin, an existing coin, uses laser and CNC, hollows it, and then puts it back together again. Like, it's indistinguishable from a regular coin.
It's amazing. So,
yeah. It's like $33. So I'm like, well, snap. I mean, that almost was, isn't that
don't
illegal?
Spend it.
That's just it. Which I thought was, what an awesome way to distribute the show. You know what I mean? Like, these things are pretty expensive. You know what I mean? Like, they're like $33. But, you know, hey, what if I could put, like, you know, get a micro SD card with, you know, I don't know, what can you put on them? Huh. 2, 3, 4 gigs or something like that worth of, you know, there's a couple seasons.
8 gigs, 16, I'm not sure.
Blah, blah, blah.
You know, a whole bunch of good stuff on it.
Yeah, it's pretty sexy. So I'm thinking, hey, you know, kind
very
of
nice.
A neat idea. Kind of a neat idea. And it's a really good way to have a data backup, especially if you're like, let's say you're traveling and you're worried that some of your camera and your kit might get confiscated and you're going to lose everything. Maybe you should put some of your images on your 8 gigs on your SD card and have a coin purse or a coin that's in a necklace or something. I don't know. You know, generally, I just throw it at the
bottom.
That's a
good idea. As long as they can't, like, when they put it through the x-rays, it doesn't show up like a little square thing inside a coin.
Well, the thing is they have the pictures of the coins going through the x-ray machine so you can see what they see.
Really?
Yeah, you could swallow it. Yeah, that's a good idea. But no, I can't advocate, you know, swallowing coins loaded with spy data, guys. I mean, come on. It's a family show here. Well, no, it's totally not a family show. But anyway, my point is, it's not. All of you under the age of 18, log off now. I'm here to tell you. But
away with you.
Yes, away with you, juveniles, children. The hollow spy coin I thought was a really cool concept to do, and apparently they've been used for quite some time. So, you know, I'm trying to think of what else you could use this for, generally.
What? What else you could fit in there, really? I mean, any data you want, really, but because they're really flat, so.
It is. They're pretty flat, but I mean, that's a pretty small space. So realistically, I'm thinking a micro SD card is about. It's about as far as you can possibly go with that, but you know, hey, you could always give it a shot. And we have a lot of fans in Australia, which is kind of cool.
Yes.
So this is a special shout out to the Australian guys. The International Symposium on Wearable Computers is a conference dedicated to the cutting edge research in wearable technologies. This year's the conference will be held. Austria. I read that wrong. It's in Austria, which is a lot like Australia with a few less letters. from September 4th to 7th. So fuck you, Australian guys. Nobody listens to you anyway. Let's go over to Austria. Well, that's not true. It's just that, you know, you guys evolved from convicts. And no, okay, that's not. Well, it is true, but you're very nice people. You know, really. And we love you. And I'm just, you know, backpedaling now. No, but seriously, in Linz, Austria, from September 4th to 7th is the International Wearable Computers Symposium. So it's
so sweet to be there.
Pardon me?
That'd be so sweet to be there.
It would be sweet. So I'm wondering, do we have anybody in Austria? And do we have anyone in Australia, for that matter? Because I'm pretty sure all my Australian fans just told me to shove it.
Just laughed.
Yeah, I think just told me to get bent. But screw you, Sean. Or they're probably coming here to headbutt me right now. The ISWC 09, the 13th annual IEEE International Symposium on Wearable Computers, is the premier forum for wearable and computing issues related to on-the-body and worn mobile technologies. So not implant, that's interesting, they specify on-the-body and worn mobile technologies, so we're not implanting here. Which is kind of funny that they make that statement. The ISWC 09 will bring together research, product vendors, fashion designers, textile manufacturers, users, and related professionals to share information and advances in wearable comping. So, hey, you know what? If you're going to this thing, can you let me know? Because I'd like to know. And if you can get me some swag. I like con swag from stuff like this, because that's pretty neat.
Save up your pennies. It is a little pricey.
Is it?
Cheapest rate is €420 for students.
They'll pay for it with hack credit cards. They're
there you go.
There
almost €1,000 for regular price.
Well, it'd be interesting to... Be interesting to check it out. It'd be definitely interesting. I'm sure there'll be lots of photos coming online for it, so that's something to watch for. Maybe you could sneak in. You know, why not?
There you go. I'm supposed to be here. Yeah,
I'm with these guys. Yeah, whatever. You can social engineer your ass into that.
Put on some funky shades and pretend they're like wearables and just
walk right in. That's right. You know, speaking of funky shades, you know that P90X fitness video thing? I don't know if you've ever seen it. But I
probably have. I can't remember.
Okay, anyway, there's this guy. His name's Tony Horton. Dude's in crazy shape. And he made this, like, punishing, you know, fitness video series where, you know, he screams at you for a couple hours and shit like that. And my wife got it. So I'm watching this guy, and I'm watching how he's, like, you know, how he does his he's really a strange fella. I like him. I think he's a good guy. But he's really, like, wow, he's out there. He's doing what he's born to do. But the thing is, he reminds me, I was trying to think of who he reminded me of, and you know who he reminds me of? Max Headroom. If you look at Tony Horton from the neck up and his voice, everything, the guy is Max Headroom, I'm here to tell you. Even his other stuff where he's like, oh, hey, again, and again, two more to the left. He's completely Max Headroom. I'm like, holy shit. You know, so Tony Horton's Max Headroom. That's one of the things that, like, you know, came to me in a flash as I was sitting there in my underoos, you know, staring at the universe. My God, Terry, you know, if I was going to have a Max Headroom be recast today, it'd be Tony Horton would be the guy doing it, for sure.
We'll have to check him out.
Oh, yeah, letters. Yeah. It's anybody who's, you know, I'm sure I'm going to get feedback about this comparison. As well, in Recomedia, as well, we've got An Agenda 21, Depopulation 2009, which is one of these great movies that, you know, by the time you're done watching it, you go to the gun store and you buy, like, everything they have and all the ammo, and you're, like, going to wait for the United Nations to show up and kill you. And this film
After
goes through
me.
awesome detail explaining how the United Nations wants to kill you. The United Nations is going to kill you. And it's just, you know, it's great stuff. It's great stuff. And, you know, if you want to warm up, it's probably not as well done as the Alex Jones stuff, which, you know, I want to see Alex Jones in heaven. I really do. Because, you know, he's a strong Christian, right? So there's going to be Alex Jones in heaven. He's like, the new Jesus isn't the same as Old Testament Jesus. You know, like, you can't do anything. You know, I'm here to tell you, Alex, you know, he's just... but you can't tell him he's wrong. You know, he's just... Yeah, the guy's going to die of a heart attack, really. Anyway.
gets too excited.
Well, he's never got anything good to say, you know? It's kind of a big bummer sometimes. You know, sometimes you just want to have, like, you know, a bit of good news. Maybe not everyone's totally evil. And if everybody in power was totally evil, this is one other point. Like, if everyone in power was totally evil, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't we all be enslaved by now? Because, like...
Yeah, they'd be pushing as hard as they can to enslave the full populace.
Yeah. So, like, you know, there's got to be some good guys. You know, I mean, there's got to be some good guys, you know, who are impeding the progress
of
the evil ones, I would think. I would think, you know, and that's what we are. We're the good guys, right? So, the WOGs are the good guys who are listening to the show, in their positions of power within the government, and you know, they strike
just
back,
just swaying the balance just enough
so that the humans can carry on.
Enslaved.
Yeah, and we can
right.
we can
and
defeat
the lizard people. Cannot
right.
take over.
Take the world. You know, because I'm all about David Icke, man. Fuck that. The UN is run by lizard people. Lizard people!
Sure.
I want them to be lizard people so bad.
Because they're not human.
Oh,
and then
dude,
you can
that'd
take
be the
out.
Best ever if there was lizard people. Like, if the royal family was really lizard people, that'd be so great. Damn.
Just at some live news conference, one accidentally flicks its lizard tongue out to the side.
Well,
and
that's why
a
they
fly.
Did. That's why there was.
It's on! It's on!
No, that's why there was a press blackout on Diana's funeral, man. That's why there was no other photos, you see, because they would have seen
the flesh would have fallen off.
The lizard self, right? That's there. It is.
Yes, emerge from the cocoon
that they're
body
moving,
of the
they're
human,
moving
right,
this giant
right
alligator
it.
Away from Princess Diana's car. Hey, where'd yeah. the giant alligator come from? Wait, oh my
the
god!
Flesh pieces have broken off her skin.
That's
yeah.
not an alligator. Where's the body of Diana? You know. But anyway, yeah, everyone's like, Obama's a lizard. You saw what he did to that fly. Only a lizard could have those kinds of reflex. I thought that was great when he killed that fly. Did you ever see that? He killed a fly on
I cried.
Did you? You fucking did not. You suck. You did not cry.
Felt bad for the fly.
Oh,
how
for
could
fuck,
he?
You didn't, you're playing a role. Please tell me you're playing a role right now. You didn't actually.
Am I?
I,
no, I didn't cry.
But,
I have a thing at home. You've seen it. You've seen this thing.
Oh, that's right. Catch. You do. You have the humane flea catch release system. Yeah.
That's right. Bug catch release system. Where this little trap door comes down. The bug crawls in. You put the trap door down.
Oh, my
you can carry
God.
It outside and open it up and let go of the bug outside.
Well, let me just put it this way. I'm glad that there's a president down there who's not afraid to kill a few flies every now and again. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, we'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. And this has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to this show, please distribute. But if you can donate, please do so by subscribing, which means that you throw about $5 a month into the kitty, and that's what helps keeps us on the air. You probably lose that in,
that's right.
You know, don't give it to the crackhead on the corner. Fuck him. Let him die in the street. Give it to Rant Media. Thank you very much.
That's
and
right.
if you'd like to send it directly, you can send it to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. And, of course, I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And be sure to sign up for the Rant Media newsletter by sending an email to my man, Samarian, to Samarian. You have to put a lot of emphasis.
Now they're
in there.
Really going to
yeah,
spell
they're
my
really
name
gonna
wrong.
Fuck it up now. I'm just going to change your name every show. Smurin, by sending an info to an info. Send an info to email. Send now.
Do it
super
now.
Happy fun date. Okay. Info at rantradio.com. And you tell my voice is completely shot. And if you like the music in the background, check out some Psytrance because, you know, that's what you listen to as your voice, you know. Fades. And
restaurant in Richmond is still around, that Happy Fun Date restaurant.
It's the best. It is the best. That's the nice thing about Richmond is that they got like they got the what do they call it? Ringlish, where it's like yep. the half Chinese broken English thing going on where they totally, you know, they screw that shit up, like water be drinkable and stuff. It's awesome. So you wind up going to restaurants that are called like Swirling Fun and shit like that. It's so it's just the best. And everybody, like Asian culture is awesome. These people will yell
amazing.
At everything. Like they yell all the time, man. You could never silence Chinese people. Like, wow, are they loud? And like running around and that's like how they say hello a lot of the time, like to the families and people they're loud. Apparently it's different in some areas of China, but in the areas that we're at, like at the night market and stuff like that, when I go there, that's the loudest place
oh, wow.
in the
loud.
World. In the world! It totally is the loudest place
they've
in the
got,
world.
They've got distorted Chinese music playing over speakers.
Yeah!
It's so
and
futuristic.
It's like walking through the set of Blade Runner, you know, and I don't mean to, you know, I think it's fantastic. You know, I wish
oh,
I could
amazing.
Learn more languages, because if I could do the show in Chinese, I'm sure I'd be a big hit in China. I'm really sure I'd be a big, oh, yeah. It'd be like, you know, I'd be freaking out and stuff. Oh, it'd be great. I'd be, you know, I don't know if I could, I don't think I could freak out really well in Russian. But, you know, you ever hear Chinese people yell? They got a lot of vowels going on there. And they're like, you know, I could get into that. Maybe some Spanish. But Spanish people, when they're mad, they talk really fast, you know. As opposed to the Japanese angry guys who, they sound really, like, they don't talk a lot, but they'll be like, yeah, you know, it builds up and then they're angry. And, you know, you see them in the kung fu movies, you know, you're like, holy shit, that's it. You know, he's put his foot down, you know, it's interesting.
It's over.
Because it is, different cultures, they get angry different ways, you know. The funny thing is you never, you know who, whenever you watch, like, the action movies, whenever African people get really mad, they don't yell a lot. It's usually that they're busy killing stuff, you know? So, it's, you know, really, I'm trying to think of how it is, because usually it's like, you know, when you watch all the movies that exploit them and stuff like that, it's always like, you know, they make a lot of noise until they get angry, and then they just start walking around looking all badass and blowing shit up, you know what I mean? Versus, like, always the white guys always got to have some clever shit to say. And especially
the catchphrase at the end.
Oh, James Bond was the king for that shit, you know?
Bad puns.
I'm going to be a chinless fobbing wonder, you know? So, Sim, have you got anything else?
No, I'm good.
You're good to go? Okay, I didn't have a little section there, but we were talking about what was going on. So, you know, we're doing good.
Next week, I'll say, the site's up. That's next week.
And that'll be hot. So don't jump the... Don't let it up.
That's right. Don't go there right now. It's not up yet.
We will never defeat the enemy or if we are at each other's throats. So until next time, everyone, that's what Server said. End of line.
Food is forbidden, sometimes we wobble, sometimes we're strong, but you know we